Good morning, church. The first scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 38 to 56. This reading is from the New International Reader's Version. This is what scripture says. "I serve the Lord," Mary answered. "May it happen to me just as you said it would." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in Judea's hill country. There she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside her jumped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she called out, "God has blessed you more than other women, and blessed is the child you will have. But why is God so kind to me? Why has the mother of my Lord come to me? As soon as I heard the sound of your voice, the baby inside me jumped for joy. You are a woman God has blessed. You have believed that the Lord would keep his promises to you." Mary said, "My soul gives glory to the Lord. My spirit delights in God my Savior. He has taken note of me, even though I am not considered important. From now on, all people will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. His name is holy. He shows his mercy to those who have respect for him, from parent to child, down through the years. He has done mighty things with his powerful arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their deepest thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. But he has lifted up people who are not considered important. He has filled with good things those who are hungry. But he has sent away empty those who are rich. He has helped the people of Israel who serve him. He has always remembered to be kind to Abraham and his children down through the years. He has done it just as he promised to our people of long ago." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months. Then she returned home. The second reading is taken from the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote. "Always be joyful because you belong to the Lord. I will say it again, be joyful. Let everyone know how gentle you are. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. No matter what happens, tell God about everything. Ask and pray and give thanks to Him. Then God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds. He will do this because you belong to Christ Jesus. God's peace can never be completely understood. Finally, my brothers and sisters, always think about what is true. Think about what is noble, right, and pure. Think about what is lovely and worthy of respect. If anything is excellent or worthy of praise, think about those kinds of things. Do what you have learned or received or heard from me. Follow my example. The God who gives peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Almighty God, you are so great, wonderful and marvelous. Thank you so much for your grace. Now we pray for Reverend John, who will be preaching the message of God to us. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit. Help him to preach the message in power and confidence. Bless him and his ministries in mighty ways. And help us to understand the message and apply it into our lives. Thank you, Lord. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just before I start to preach, has anything been said about Mike this morning? Okay, so I just want to share with you pastorally about Mike Legg, who had a medical brain bleed. Thank you. I was struggling to say that. Now, the medical people don't feel that it was a stroke as such, but that something caused by the medication he was taking. But nevertheless, it has symptoms very similar to a stroke. So Mike has been and continues to be in hospital at the moment, and he's not very well. So I saw him yesterday afternoon. He'd had a fever that morning, and things were not good with him. And then they managed to break the fever, and so things were better in the afternoon. So they're not in a place where they want anyone to come and visit them as yet. Perhaps in a few days, when things have settled down, they'll let us know, and then we can see what we can do to help as a church family. But just for now, to keep him in our prayers. So let's just do that right now. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for our good friend, your faithful servant, Mike. And we ask, Lord, that you would be near to him and that you would give him strength. We pray that by your Spirit that you would bring to him healing. We pray, Lord, that you would do this through the medical staff and the decisions that they make, the choices of treatment and medicines that they decide on. Allow them to be effective, Lord. And as these things are administered, then we pray, Lord, that by your Spirit you would work a miracle within Mike and give his body the strength to fight the infection and to heal from the brain bleed that he has had. We ask that you would wrap our beloved Liz in your arms of love, Liz and Mike and all their family, that you would hold them, that you would walk with them, that you would give them your light, your peace, and your help at this time. All this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, on a totally different matter, which isn't at all related to that, and I know that for the converse tonight, many of you will just want to come along to that, and I want to say for those of you who come that tonight we've got lemon meringue pie as well as chocolate. And maybe there are some of you now who have decided, I really need to go to that study tonight and to be a part of what's happening there. And of course, you'll be most welcome. It's open to everyone, and we welcome people there. And it's a cafe style, so we sit around and get to know each other and chat. So this is good. Now, in the today we're thinking about Mary. Oh, there she is. Today we're thinking about Mary. And as I was sitting there, I was wondering, what can we learn from a pregnant teenage girl? You know, if you were to think about that in other circumstances, you would sort of think, oh, but we have so much to learn. And from Mary and from others whose heart God touches. And so we're thinking about Mary today. In the psalm we read, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. This is just a wonderful verse in the Psalms. As I was thinking about Mary, I was thinking about this verse and how this is, in a sense, what she's doing. She's saying to her soul, praise the Lord. And from this sense of praise, there is flowing from her this wonderful prayer that we're looking at this morning. Mary, so young as she was at this time, a great woman of faith. Maybe I should say girl, but a great woman of faith. Her song, a prayer of adoration and praise, they flow from a humble heart into the presence of God. She cannot help but bless God. This is a great prayer, prayed at a great moment in history. It's a rich prayer, and it's a vibrant prayer, overflowing with joy. Imagine for a moment what it would be like if you and I were able to pray like this. Such vibrancy in our prayer. That's a thriving, joyful prayer. How it would transform us, transform those that we pray for. And so her prayer serves to us as a model for prayer, so that we might be inspired in adoration and in worship of God. And we have a family photo I want to share with you this morning. So on the left is our daughter-in-law Chelsea, and on the right our daughter Jennifer. And last year they were both pregnant, and together they stood bump to bump. And I wanted to show you this, perhaps, just to get us thinking a little bit differently about Elizabeth and Mary. Both pregnant, and I'm not sure, you know, maybe bump to bump. And I wonder what it would be like if we had a photograph of Mary and Elizabeth in their pregnancy, what that might be like to be able to see. One scholar notes the first time that Jesus and John the Baptist meet, if we can call it that, was womb to womb. And even then, John witnessed to Jesus by leaping in the womb. Now, it's not unusual for babies to move in the womb and even to kick a sudden movement. But to Elizabeth, as she felt this, this was no ordinary movement, but one she interpreted as her baby leaping for joy in response to Mary and the child that Mary was carrying. And Elizabeth said, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." And this is a really special moment, as both Elizabeth and her baby recognize the blessedness of Mary and the baby in her womb. Perhaps this is Jesus' first greeting, as Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, makes this spiritual announcement. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you bear, that you will bear." And then she goes on to say, "Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And this idea warms my heart. This thought of two women, relatives, both pregnant, sort of the normal, the very normal things of life being together. A moment of recognition of spiritual truth that God is at work. God is at work in Elizabeth and her child, and in Mary and her child. Two women at the epicenter of God's will, on the brink of history changing from the Old to the New Testament. One carrying the last of the Old Testament prophets who would, when he was older, stand up and prepare the way and proclaim the goodness of God, preparing the way for Jesus. And the other, prophet, priest and king, the Son of God, come among us. And what a wonderful meeting then this is for Mary and for Elizabeth. And it's in the context of this visit to Elizabeth that Mary has her song of praise. And this is her prayer, not asking God for something, but simply her soul magnifying God for who God is and what God has done. An expression of adoration and praise that her in her pregnancy was central to fulfilling God's promise to Abraham of salvation that would come to the people of Israel and to the world. There are two key parts to this adoration: what Mary saw in terms of how God was blessing her, and what she saw in terms of God, God working and fulfilling that plan in others. And I wonder what stands out to you from Mary's prayer. And I want you to take a moment to consider this. You'll see on the front of your bulletin, there it is written for you, Mary's Prayer. I want you just to look at that for a moment and then share your ideas with the people around you. So I know at the moment we're sitting in rows, but I want you, in a sense, you don't have to move, but just in your mind, think we're now in a wee circle, and we can talk together about these things. So have a look at the prayer, and then talk to each other about what stands out for you. Yes, it is.
I was just thinking about the rules and regulations for young girls in those eastern countries. They would, you know, they fed everybody and they fed them themselves with the food at the end. They stood up and kept away in a corner. And here's this young girl who suddenly bursts out in front of anyone who might have been listening because she was so full of joy. It, you know, it rings right through all these words. I think that's marvellous. She just let it all out, as they say now in the modern language.
Thank you. Anyone else?
We were talking about that she thought that she wasn't considered important. And when you read through, it wasn't just her, but she saw herself representing people later on who were not considered important. But despite the fact she wasn't considered important, the Mighty One has done great things for me. So the sense of the Lord reaching to people who are hidden away or are less important, but helping them do great things.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Not once does she say, "Why has this happened to me?" No, she's not. She's not doing any complaining at all. She's just, from the bottom of her heart and her soul, she's thanking God for His blessings upon her. As we all do when we're having a baby.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing those things. There's a lot there to find when you look in the prayer, isn't there? Things about how she wasn't anyone, but now she's privileged. She's having God's favour, this blessing, this joy, this generational, a sense of generational touch from her, linking with Abraham and the people of Israel and what would happen in the future. Great historical impact. So, in one sense, Mary was a pregnant teenager who to all appearances had seemed to conceive a child out of wedlock. And this was a time, as has been said, a time when that would be very shameful. It might mean that she would be cast out from her family. They might sever relationships with her, and she might well have been left destitute. It was at a time when her community might well have felt justified in stoning her to death for what they concluded was her sexual sin. And perhaps at home, she had to be hidden away or silent, or pregnant but unable to celebrate that openly. No baby shower, no coffees with friends, no going out to catch up on how she was doing, no face group to help support her through that. No understanding, no supportive community. And then when she arrives with Elizabeth, through what she is saying and how she acts, gives her this safe place to be. And then Mary's heart opens, the floodgates of joy bursting forth in praise. And Mary is expressing her deep joy, her soul magnifying God, praising Him with all her being. Nothing is being held back. Her whole heart is being poured out in adoration to God. We have her words. I wish we could hear her voice. And just how she was saying these things. Was she bursting in tears as she raised her heart in prayer? Or was she trembling at the very thought of what was going on? Or maybe she just found this as an opportunity to lift her voice and say these things. Perhaps she hadn't been able to say them where she was before, but now with Elizabeth recognizing what was going on, she's able to speak so clearly. And so she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy, holy, holy is His name." And I suppose many of you, like me, have had times when you have felt yourself bursting forth in prayer and praise to God because of something God has done for you. Maybe something in His Word has touched your soul. Something said to you or done for you or an answer to prayer has just inspired you to such prayerfulness from the depth of your soul that nothing could contain or restrain, and neither should it. Times when your heart felt fit to burst. You know, I think this is something that people who are not Christians just cannot comprehend. You cannot know the joy of praising God in adoration until you step in to that place of knowing Him, walking with Him, and giving Him your praise. And then suddenly you have a sense of what this is. And you and I might have known it, but to try and find the right words to express that wonderful depth of joy is sometimes really difficult to do. And perhaps the best we could say to someone who doesn't know this is to echo the words of the psalmist who said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." And this is such a deep, deep wellspring, expression of joyful praise from our very souls, our spirits deep within, flooding up through us, that it's, unless you have experienced it, it's so hard to tell someone what that is like. Something you must really taste for yourself in order to understand it. And so if you have not done so before, what I say to you is give it a try. Taste and see. Praise God for who He is and see if you don't experience something of joy that you would never experience in any other way. I think at the moment that she prayed, Mary was, in the words of Charles Wesley, lost in wonder and love and praise, heart to heart with God, so focused on God that perhaps everything else was nothing to her, because she was adoring God who has done so much for her, focused on Him alone, He alone holding her attention. her spirit rejoicing. There's something wonderful about this, edifying, enriching about this. Glorifying God, when we glorify God, we find something of God's presence, God's joy come into our hearts. When God's presence and joy comes into our hearts, then we want to adore Him. And when we adore Him, we find joy in our hearts, which makes us, and it's a self-feeding type of prayer that just takes us higher and higher and deeper when we begin to adore and glorify God in this way. Mary praised God out of her understanding of who she is and who God is. She speaks of herself as a humble servant. And this echoes her earlier response to the angel Gabriel when the angel said to her, "You will be with child." And she said, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She was, in a sense, a nobody plucked from obscurity whose life was changed because now all generations would call her blessed. Now, Presbyterian Church, Protestant Church, part of the Reformation, in a sense, we know Roman Catholics venerate Mary, and as Protestants, we don't. And perhaps for that very reason, we don't give Mary the attention that maybe we should. And maybe we are the poorer for it, for not looking at this young woman and learning from her, not venerating her, not worshipping her, but certainly seeing in her a model that we can all learn from and follow. And Elizabeth recognized her as blessed among women. And Elizabeth wondered at the marvelous events and said, "Well, why am I so favored? What have I ever done that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And Mary, this humble, obedient servant, about to become the mother of our Lord. There's something very poignant in the words of the song, "Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kissed your little baby, you have kissed the face of God." And there's something just wonderful about what is going on in Mary's life and what she is about to experience. But also above and beyond that, we know the story that one day she would stand at the foot of the cross and watch this, her son, put to death. She knows who she is, but she also knows who God is. And so she proclaims the nature and the deeds of God, who is holy, who is Lord, who is Savior, the Mighty One. And she says, "This God has performed mighty deeds and scattered the proud and brought down the rulers, lifted up the humble and filled the hungry and helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants." Mary knew who she was, and she was about to discover more of who she was to become in God, in Christ. And she knew who God was. And as a humble servant, she prayed. She prayed the most wonderful prayer of praise and adoration. Now, clearly she's a woman of intelligence. And she has wrestled with complex theological thoughts. She's a person who's been in the synagogue and listened to the teaching and thought about all these things that were taught to the people of her day. Thought about them thoroughly. She's well versed in the history of her people, and she herself is determined to play her part in that history and to serve God, even though it might bring her into danger or disrepute. And so her theological insights are revealed through her prayer. She has personal reason to praise God, but she also looks to the actions of God for the poor, for the hungry, for the humble. And she has a grasp on that salvation history, that God is working out His promises to Israel. And amazingly, She finds it is through her these things are happening. It's from her humility, seeing God has chosen her for a special task, knowing herself unworthy, yet trusting God in obedience that she prays. Well, what difference does this make to us? Mary's prayer can help you to pray and be more prayerful. You see, as followers of Jesus, we keep Jesus at the center of our lives, at home, at work, wherever we are, at church. We keep Jesus at the center. And if we're going to do that, then we need to pattern our life on the life he modeled, which included prayerfulness. Prayer is important in the Christian life. I'm sure each one of you wants to grow in prayerfulness. Each one of you wants to deepen your relationship with God through prayer. And we know that prayer helps us as we pray to receive more of God himself. The closer we are to God, the more we receive from God. And prayer helps us to stay close and dwell in his blessing. It's a spiritual exercise, a discipline that helps to keep us spiritually fit. And it helps us to know Jesus and follow Jesus. That's part of what happens as we pray. And that's our church mission as we think about it, to help people know and follow Jesus. And if we're going to do that, one of the foundations, one of the important things in doing that is for us to be a prayerful people. And so we must pray and pray more. We have this series on prayer, not to look at figures and Bible history and say, well, well done, Mary. Good on you. You prayed really well way back then, thousands of years ago. This isn't a theoretical exercise to look at a distant person with some envy and think, well, Mary or Hannah or Jabez that we've been looking at, you were good at prayer. But me, we're looking at these so that we become enriched prayerfully at home, at work, at uni, wherever you may be, being more prayerful, being more inspired to pray, more confident in your prayer, so that you may find yourself increasingly at the throne of God in prayer. See, we're a prayerful church. This is a part of what it means to be part of this church. To be a part of our church is to become a praying person. In our church, we pray lots. We pray in our services. We pray in our prayer meetings on Thursday morning, Saturday morning, Friday night. We pray in our seasons of prayer. We pray at the beginning of the year in our prayer day. Grey Friars is a church that is soaked in prayer with prayerful people, as well as our individual prayer and the prayer that we have at our growth groups. Being a part of this church is to be prayerful and to become more prayerful. And so I ask you, in your walk with God, whether you have been here many years or whether you've just started in the last few months, step more into prayer in God's presence. Be a prayerful person. We want you to have a vibrant and thriving walk with God so that you find joy in your prayerfulness overflowing from the depths of your souls. And if we are to be a vibrant and thriving church, then we need to be a praying and prayerful people individually and together. An important part of this prayer, and it's only part of the prayer, is adoration. Adoration is that prayer that glorifies God, magnifies God. A balanced prayer life consists of more than that, but must include that adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. We tend to be pretty good at supplication. That basically means asking for things. And we're pretty good at going to God and asking for the things that we need in our lives. Not too bad at Thanksgiving, although we may forget this at times. Usually we remember to thank God for what he's done when we're about to come back and ask him for something else. Did I thank him last time? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And now, what I want is... So we're not too bad at the thankfulness. Confession, we're not so good perhaps at the confession, because when we come to confession, we've got to front up to our own wrongdoing. And we know that that sin separates us from God. And you might have noticed maybe in your life, one of the first things that goes when you start along a sinful path is your prayer life. Because you don't talk to God when you're in that situation, when you're walking on that path. But then we come to a place where we think, oh, I've got to get things right with God. We come back and we confess. But I have to wonder if it's the adoration is the one we tend to neglect the most. We confess because it sin tinges our relationship with God. We become conscious, so we confess. We know we need things for ourselves and for others, so we're obviously going to ask God for stuff. But perhaps adoration doesn't come to mind quite so readily. Adoration is to praise, to worship and glorify God for who He is. It's just telling God about His goodness and magnifying that in our own hearts and our own minds. God doesn't become any better because we magnify Him in our praise, but perhaps He becomes bigger in our lives as we do that magnification and realize who He is and what He's like. Adoration is our gift of praise to God out of lips that simply want to adore Him. It's an understanding that He is almighty and sovereign and God above all and creator. And by virtue of all that, He's worthy of our praise. As the apostle Peter said, and this may help us to think about it, he said, God has made you to be a special people. You're a chosen people. Even a royal people and priesthood. And while you may not have thought about it, you are part of this holy nation, a people belonging to God. But why? Why has God done this? So that you and I may be able to declare His praises. So that you and I may know what it's like to step into His presence and be able to honor Him. So that you and I might be able to enter into that light and enjoy the fullness of salvation that is ours in Christ. God made us His own so we would be free to praise Him. He reaches out to us through Jesus. He forgives us. He makes us His family. And part of the reason for Him doing that is so that we can have the opportunity to extol Him and to praise Him. And this is not, as some people suggest, because God has a fragile ego and needs us to tell Him how wonderful He is. Rather, it is because God is so wonderful beyond our knowledge that we need to explore how wonderful He is. And adoration is a way of entering into that and exploring the heights and the depths of who God is, for who He is, for what He has done, and to understand that more in our own lives. Proximity to God will draw from us this adoration. David, in one of the Psalms, said this, "Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." So when you start to adore God and you begin to fathom, begin to explore, you'll never reach the end of knowing how great and wonderful God is. Because His greatness and wonder is beyond us. One of the glories of heaven will be to spend eternity exploring the wonders of God and how great He is. And so David says, "One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful ways. And they will tell of the power of your awesome works. And I will proclaim your great deeds. And they will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." And this is a psalm of adoration. And if we're not quite sure how to do it, if we're not quite sure how to enter into this adoration and praise of God, perhaps open one of the psalms and use that as a way of expressing God's goodness. Don't, in a sense, just read it to God, but take it in and think about it and turn it over in your mind and express it in your ways, the goodness of God. Adoration is fueled by a sense of gratitude for what God has done. Darrell Bock, one of the authors that I read about this study, said, "As the child leaped in Elizabeth's womb, so our hearts should leap when we consider the many blessings of God that we experience." And perhaps this is the reason that the Apostle Paul commands us, rejoice, always. Rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice. And then do it some more, rejoice again. Mary had exceptional reasons to rejoice. But we also have good reasons to rejoice. We can rejoice in the blessings of God, the sunshine, the rain, the seasons of growth, the gift of salvation, God's work within us, the sanctification, helping us to become more and more Christ-like, more and more holy. Or we might think of God's answer to many of our prayers. All that and much more that you might think about to adore God and to rejoice and praise before Him. So then, let us be a people who pray. Can I encourage you again? Pray. Pray. And pray some more. As God has touched our hearts with His presence, let's touch His heart with our prayers of adoration. Let's give to Him the praise of our lips. Perhaps you could come to one of our prayer meetings. Or maybe you could purchase a book on prayer. Learn about it some more. Or read some of the great prayers of people in the past. In prayer, let us glorify God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing. Hosanna, Hosanna.